heart, Lord, just wants to pray for those who are on vacation. Lord God, though we wish we were there ourselves, we are here, and we are so grateful that we have breath, we have an opportunity, and friends and family, brothers and sisters that we can sit together with and worship together to praise you and to just give you glory, Lord God. And for those who are on vacation, I just pray safety for them, Lord. I pray that they rest. I pray that they just take in all these things that you have to show them, that you want them to experience, just the restful time with your family, the beauty that you have carved into the beaches. And for those who aren't at beaches but visiting family members, I pray, Lord, for a full experience. And Lord God, we pray for their safety as they return, renewed, refreshed. Once again, to join our family, we thank you. All good and perfect things come from you, Lord, and even vacation is something that we can thank you for. So yeah, we love you, Lord, Jesus Christ, amen. All right, if you have your Bible, we're going to turn, I'm really excited because God has led me to share my favorite story in the Bible. I mean, my favorite story is the whole Bible, but then this is like, you know, there's those stories where you can act, when you hear it, you can like really relate to it. This is one of them, and this is the story of Joseph. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis, chapter 41, verse 41. Genesis chapter 41, verse 41. We're going to read to through 49, okay? Everybody there? All right. Listen, for the word of the Lord. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephaniah-Paneah and gave him Aseneth, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. The story of Joseph is one that I love because it has so much to do with trusting in God. Trusting in God pays beyond measure. And of course, it's not that we're trusting him so that we can get paid, but we trust him because he alone is the God who can give us things beyond measure. Joseph started out, if you don't know the story, Joseph started out as just a young boy. And he was the youngest of seven brothers. He was the youngest. However, he was blessed from the beginning. His gift was that he could interpret. He had and he could interpret dreams. So one day, he was being a little cocky kid. And his mom was like, "Hey, Joseph, send this food out to your older brothers who are working out in the field right now." So he took this basket and he went out there. And then he had a dream the night before. He had this dream that seven stalks of grain were bowing down to him. So he told his brothers that, you know, naturally he wants to tell them that. And his brothers, they got mad. They were like, who do you think you are that you think that we are going to bow down to you? You are the youngest. And they were jealous and they were enraged. And so they did what any older brother did. They beat him up. The sad part is they beat him up and they were going to kill him. However, one of the older brothers still loved him. So he offered another suggestion. They threw him in a pit and they were wondering about what they could do until this passing slave traders, like a whole caravan of them, these slave traders were walking by. So the brother was like, in his quick thinking, so that, you know, Joseph wouldn't get killed, they were like, hey, let's sell him to slavery. Let's sell him into slavery. We'll make some money. And in the end, he won't die. So they sold him into slavery. And Joseph, who was part of the family was wealthy. They were better off than most. I would say, like, upper middle class in today's society. They sold him into slavery, and he went from being adorned and loved by his father, who gave him the best of things. He went from that to being beaten by his own brothers, and then being sold into indentured servanthood. So he goes off, right, as a slave. However, Joseph, he is an admirable guy. I mean, he might have been bragging a little bit just now, and then that's how he got put into the situation. But he is an admirable guy, because no matter what situation he is in, he does his best. He got put into a household, a huge household, in another city far, far away. He got put into it as a slave. But he did so well that the master of the house decided Joseph was going to be the leader slave. He was going to be the one that everybody goes to. And basically, the master gave him free range over everything in the house. So he had, I mean, he was still a slave, but it was in the best sense possible. He was taken care of. He was well treated. All other slaves were under him. And he was living a relatively good life. Until one day, he wasn't just a good guy. I guess he was really good looking, too. The wife of the master, the mistress, started, like, coming on to him, you know what I'm saying? It started out little at first, like, little things, like, I don't know, she, like, accidentally dropped something, like, oops, you know, this stuff. But one day, it got to a boiling point where she just could not take it, she had to have it. So she cornered him in a room one day, and, like, I was like, dude, let's get it on. But he was an admirable guy. He had a heart for the Lord. He only wanted to do right. And he told her straight up, like, how could I do that to my master and my Lord? So basically, I mean, it doesn't go into too much detail, but I guess they wrestled, and then he was, like, trying to run away. But she ended up grabbing his shirt that it ripped, a large piece of the cloth off. As he was running out of the room. And just, gosh, man, it makes me so mad thinking about this. But then she immediately goes to the master and was like, master, like, or husband, Joseph tried to rape me. Here's the cloth that I that ripped from his shirt as he was trying to do it, and I barely got away. So Joseph, who had been honest, who had been righteous, who had done the right thing, was put in prison as a direct result of his honesty. He was put in prison, and that's where he was. However, he was an admirable guy. In prison, he was such a good prisoner. He was such a good captive that even the jailers started respecting him. They loved him. They started talking to him more, and they started giving him free range of the prison. In the dungeon, he started getting freedom, liberation within the prison, which is an oxymoron, but it's good. They put him in charge of
like prisoner responsibilities that nobody else would get. And he was respected in the dungeon community.
Yeah, the story, this is where the story gets really interesting. In prison, he meets a cupbearer and a baker. The cupbearer, his responsibility is literally, this is like the easiest job in the world. I don't know what he did wrong to get put in prison, but there's the Pharaoh, the king of the land, right? And he gets thirsty, and you know, it ain't hard, or it ain't easy being king, I guess. And he wants to, when he's thirsty, he just wants to like reach out and grab a cup. And the cupbearer, what he does is he bears the cup, he just holds it there all day, every day, and that's his job. So the king, like, he can reach out, take a sip, put it back. And that's all he does. And the baker is a baker. He bakes bread for the king. Anyway, he meets the two of them. Joseph meets them in prison. I don't know what they did. They were there. And remember, Joseph's gift is that he can interpret dreams. So the two of these had a dream one night, and they're talking about it. They're like, what could this mean? What could this mean, man? I don't even know. Like, what do you think it means? Blah, blah, blah. And Joseph overhears them. He's like, hey, I kind of have this gift that God gave me. I could interpret your dreams for you guys. And so they tell him. And he's like, first he goes to the baker. And the baker tells him his dream. And Joseph's like matter of fact, he's like, your dream means you're going to die. Okay, next. The cupbearer, however, he hears and he listens to his dream. And he says, one day, you're going to get out of here, you're going to be reinstated as the cupbearer, and you'll live a relatively happy life. And then that's it. So he tells the cupbearer, and he's like, remember me for this. Of course, the baker dies, and then the cupbearer gets reinstated as the cupbearer, he gets to hold the cup again. But for a while, he forgets everything. Like, he completely forgets about Joseph for a really long time. He's just really happy that he's not in the dungeon anymore. So, fast forward the story a little bit. The cupbearer is, that's what he does. He holds the cup and he stands next to the king. Basically, he hears everything that the king does. He hears all the business that the king does. And so, one day, the king wakes up and he had this dream. The dream's really funny. Basically, there were seven fat cows, right? Like, if you looked at it, you'd be like, man, that's a fat cow. And these fat cows are just grazing. They're like, they're eating up everything. Like, they are happy, happy cows. And then all of a sudden, these seven other cows come. And these seven other cows are like the ugliest cows you've ever seen. And they're skinny. Like, they're like bone skinny. And they come up and they eat up the seven fat cows. And the king's like, what? And he wakes up, he's like, that was weird. And then he goes back to sleep. In his sleep, however, he has another dream, which is kind of like the first one, where there's these seven stalks of grain. And I believe it was locusts that came and ate them up. Anyway, what happens is the cupbearer suddenly remembers. And this is like, you think it's just by chance that he remembers, you know, because he forgot for a while too. But it's amazing that God's hand is moving in everything. What seems like chance has been his purpose all along. He remembers Joseph and he tells him, King, Pharaoh, I know somebody who might be able to interpret this dream for you. You know, it's not his place to really say anything because he's just a cupbearer and he's supposed to be—he's there literally for his two hands. But the Pharaoh—he's just so consumed by this dream. He's asked every magician, every dream interpreter, whatever. None of them can interpret it for him. And so finally, he's down to his last wits. He calls up Joseph from the dungeon. That's how desperate the Pharaoh is. He calls up somebody from prison to interpret his dream. So Joseph comes up and he's like, "Okay." What was your dream? And he tells him. He's like, can you interpret it? He's like, I can't interpret nothing, but God will interpret it for you. That's how he was admirable.
You know, he wants to get out of prison, but even then, he won't take the credit for anything. He'll give it to God. So he interprets it. He says, Pharaoh, you will have in the future 7 years of abundance like you have never seen before. You will grow grain like it was like your job. I mean, I guess it is his job. You will grow grain like you've never seen before. However, what will happen afterwards is you will have 7 years of complete famine. The land will stop growing, and not even just Egypt, but all the land around it will be completely barren of any fruit. So the Pharaoh's like, oh, I don't know how he knows it's the right interpretation. He's like, oh, what should I do? And Joseph's like, okay, here's what you gotta do. For 7 years, you have to collect, I mean, it seems pretty obvious, but he's like, for 7 years, you have to collect all the food. And then for the 7 years afterwards, you can eat it. And the Pharaoh's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. So that's where we are at right now, this passage that we read. Joseph becomes the second in command after Pharaoh. And even more so, Pharaoh himself says in verse 44, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt. I mean, he's second in command, but only by name. Literally, his word will put forth action in the land of Egypt. And if you don't know, Egypt in this time is the most powerful empire in the entire world. Egypt was today's China. He's like China and America, like, put together. Egypt was technologically advanced in every way possible. Egypt had the most land in all of the Middle East.
Thank you.
Egypt and Pharaoh was the most powerful entity at the time. And then Joseph, he used to be wealthy, but he was a lowly, lowly shepherd. His family, they took care of farm animals. And he goes from that to being the most powerful person. I mean, besides Pharaoh, the most powerful person in the world at the time. And that journey is incredible if you think about it. That journey goes from being this shepherd to being second in command. And in this world today, in our consumerist world, we think everything has to be equal. I give this, you give me that. I give you this, you give me that. Everything has to be an equal transaction between you and me. But here we see that Joseph, for doing the right things, were put in situations that are less than desirable. But he never loses faith in God. Can you imagine? For doing the right thing, for interpreting a dream as God has given you the gift to do, being beaten and put into a pit and then being sold into slavery by your own brothers. And then for doing the right thing, for doing an admirable and honorable, honest thing, being put in prison. And then you look back and then you realize it was all for the glory of God. It was all for his plan. It was divine from beginning to end. God's hand was moving in all of those things. Imagine sitting in prison after having done the right thing. Would you thank God for that? If it was me, if I was in prison, if I was in the dungeon, my first goal wouldn't be like, okay, I'm going to be the best prisoner ever. That wouldn't be at all. My first reaction, my gut reaction would be to be angry. Would be to be angry at God, whom I have worshipped my entire life. I would be angry at him that I didn't get the equal transaction that I thought I needed to get by doing the right thing. I'd be like, God, I did the right thing. I didn't have sex with the master's wife. And look what you gave me. Now I'm sitting in a dungeon. I'm pretty angry with you. But Joseph, he remains faithful. He was put into the exact position he needed to be in so that God can use him.
because it wasn't about Joseph. In the end, it wasn't about Joseph at all. In the end, after Joseph was instated as the second in command, he was in position. Well, if you read on, he was in position to help the entire world as he knew it. He collected the grains, he collected the food, and then he fed not only Egypt, but all the countries surrounding it. God was moving in all of this. His plan, in the end, was to provide for his people, and he used Joseph to do it. But to get there, Joseph had to go on this journey, one in which trust and faith in God was... Are you doing SpongeBob? One in which trust and faith in God is the underlying story, and it's the underlying reason. And I just want you to know that at this time in your life, you will go through hardships. You will meet things that don't satisfy you in the moment. But God is more than satisfying. He is redeeming. God is everything you will ever need and more. Even when you're sitting in prison. Even when you're sitting in a dinky dungeon. You can praise God. Because the current circumstances don't compare to eternity. Because the current circumstances are still part of his plan. And all you have to do is trust in him, to have faith in him, because he is faithful. He is all loving, he is all good, and he is all powerful. These circumstances don't compare to what he has in store for you. So the next time you're in a circumstance where you just believe you have been given the short end of the stick, you're on the lower part of the scale, and you want to blame God, well, I don't blame you. But know that God is so much more wise, so much more powerful than you could ever imagine him to be. We can't leave him in a box of our own understanding. So pray to him. Whatever it is that is on your heart, it may be anger, maybe bitterness, but pray to him. As we said before, the Psalms, one of the longest books in the entire Bible, the Psalms are one-third just a lot of complaining. Like, they're one-third of, like, God, why did you do this? God, why did you do that? God, why didn't you protect me? It's like a third of it is in... A lot of it comes from King David, the man after God's own heart. It's a lot of complaining. But see, God doesn't want just perfect prayer from you. What he wants is a genuine relationship from you. And whether or not you're angry with him, he still wants to converse with you. He wants to be the one you turn to when you're angry, as well as when you're thankful. So pray to him. Pray to him at every moment. You can pray to him like a line while you're driving, or I guess you aren't driving, while you're on the school bus going to school. You can pray to him a line like, oh, thank you for this seat. I don't have to stand. Thank you for this Pop-Tart that is portable and easy to eat as I'm walking. Or if you're angry, be like, God, why aren't you there for me? God, why didn't you, strike that bully down when he was being mean? Whatever the situation may be, don't ever close that highway. Don't ever close that, don't ever sever that connection you have with him. Because he wants a genuine relationship. It doesn't matter if you're angry or not. Talk to him. He is your God. He is your Lord. He'll give you a peace that's beyond understanding. Alright? Any questions?
No.
Dude, go read Joseph. It's my favorite story, man. It's so good. I gave you a really, really, really short synopsis of it, but
the Joseph story is incredible. Okay?
Has anybody heard of Joseph?
The Technicolor? Whatever. All right. There's no questions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are so good in every way imaginable. Even the bad is good. You are so wise, you are powerful, that you take the most negative of circumstances and you use it for your glory. Jesus, you use it for your glory. The ultimate negativity in the world was to take our Lord and to nail him to the cross and to kill him, and yet you used it for your good. How? And so you take our shame, you take our embarrassing moments, our angry moments, you take all those moments that we think shouldn't be in our lives, that we would rather not have in our lives, and you use them for good. Just as Joseph sat in prison, just as Joseph, when he was being beaten by his brothers, even then he thanked you, even then he stayed, remained faithful to you. So I pray that, Lord Father, that you put in us, each of us, a heart of faithfulness. That we don't just look at you as a mode of transaction, where if we give you enough of something, that you'll give something positive for us. But Lord God, that we will be a people who is faithful to our Creator. One who loves us so much that he would take on something that he was never supposed to. We thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for all good and perfect things. The things that we were never meant to have. We thank you for brothers and sisters who sit around us who are just so good. For this family that we have. Overall, we just thank you that you love us. I love you.